Hello, welcome to the Monday, April 10th, 2016 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. On Friday, Adobe did finally publish the pre-announced patch for Flash Player. It fixes actually a total of 24 vulnerabilities. However, one of them, Adobe in particular points out, was the reason for the early release of this patch, CVE-2016-1019. This vulnerability has already been seen in the wild, and not just in sort of these high-level nation-state attacks. No, apparently it has been seen in crypto ransomware. If you're running Flash Player 20.0.0.306, then you may be vulnerable even if you're running Windows 10. Now, OS 10 is vulnerable as well, so you should definitely update OS 10 as well. This particular exploit was seen in the wild, however, apparently only ran against Windows 10. Overall, turn off Flash, uninstall it, burn it if you can. If not, at the very least, make sure that it requires user permission to run on a specific website. But be aware, in particular, if a vulnerability like this is used in crypto ransomware, which is often planted on websites that are trusted by the user, the website essentially just is being defaced here, or ads are being paid for the website that then deliver the malicious code. In that case, a user may very well enable Flash for the website, believing that this is a trusted website that will not exploit the user. Now, Trend Micro has a little bit more details about the actual instance where this was seen in the wild, and they saw it definitely being used against Windows 10. OS 10, they say, is vulnerable, but doesn't appear to be targeted here. The Magnitude exploit kit, according to Trend Micro, did incorporate this particular vulnerability. And WordPress announced that it will provide SSL via Let's Encrypt for all websites hosted with WordPress. So this does not apply if you install the WordPress software on your own server, but if you're hosting it with WordPress.com and you're using your own domain name, then WordPress will add SSL for free. Let's Encrypt, of course, makes that somewhat easy with its automation and its free certificates. But in addition, I think also server name indication is very important here. With SSL version 3 being pretty much turned off recently, a lot of older browsers turned out to be pretty much useless and have been replaced. Now, the newer browsers not only support newer ciphers, but also support server name indication, which does allow the hosting of multiple domain names on one IP address, which wasn't really possible before with SSL and with port 443. And talking about encryption, Bishop Fox released details about an interesting vulnerability that was recently patched by Apple in iMessage. Now, iMessage does implement end-to-end encryption, which is commonly considered pretty good, but this does not prevent from data theft at the endpoint, and this is really what this vulnerability is about. Essentially, in iMessage, if you send a URL to a user, it shows up as a clickable link. Now, one interesting complication here is that these URLs may be JavaScript. So if the user clicks on that URL, JavaScript executes, and that JavaScript is not really limited by same origin policy because it executes from within the chat client. And this JavaScript now has access to files that the chat client has access to and can then, of course, upload them to a remote server. Interesting vulnerability, and as Bishop Fox here says, be aware, JavaScript is everywhere, so make sure that you avoid this problem in your own applications. And as I said, this particular vulnerability was patched by Apple in its March update. And about a week ago, you may have heard that Ubuntu became available as a Windows app. So essentially, you can run more or less complete Ubuntu in user space within Windows 10. One thing that has surprised a lot of people late last week, I saw quite a few of tweets about this, was that the user that you're running Bash with on within that Ubuntu image has actually root access or is running as root. Well, it turns out it's actually not as bad as initially thought, because Ubuntu itself only runs as a normal restricted Windows user. So this root user inside Ubuntu does actually not have access to any privileges that the user, the Windows user, has access to. Interesting concept, interesting tool to play with. So now you get complete Bash within Windows. If you never warmed up to PowerShell, this may be your best alternative. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow, big patch Tuesday with the bad lock vulnerability being released. And we do have a special webcast on Wednesday about the bad lock vulnerability. The reason we decided to do this is that you'll probably get a lot of questions from your bosses whether or not bad lock turns out to be a big deal or not. It will certainly be mentioned in news and such, given all the prior announcements. So you definitely probably should figure out how to respond to it, even if your response may be, well, to do nothing. But I doubt that this will be happening in this case. So thanks for listening. Bye.